This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Luke Burbank. A huge international sports event descended on San Diego this weekend, and America pretty much shrugged. That's what happens when it comes to rugby. In this case, the U.S. leg of the Rugby Sevens World Series. The tournament may not be very well known here, but as NPR's Andrea Hsu found out, for other countries, it is a very big deal.
San Diego's baseball stadium, Petco Park, was transformed into a mini United Nations. Some 15,000 rugby fans came through the gates, draped in flags and sporting team jerseys, and some wonderful sounding names.
My name is Mila Misake, M-E-I-S-A-K-E.
Kirk, Kirk Krappe, K-R-A-P-P-E, Krappe.
My name is Mary Ngudake, G-U-C-A-K-E.
Those three had turned out for Samoa, South Africa, and Fiji. Three of the 16 teams competing at the USA Sevens tournament. Now, I'll confess, I went into this assignment knowing nothing about rugby. So before the tournament began, I turned to a couple players for help. First up, Antonio Gibbons, representing the West Indies.
It's all about teamwork, friendship, passion.
Nice answer, but I was looking for something more specific.
It's like American football for real men. We know we're padding.
That's Mark Foster from England, the defending champions of the USA Sevens. I took his comment as an invitation to drop in on team practice. I found the boys on a soccer field at the Olympic Training Center south of San Diego. They had on shorts, sleeveless tops, knee-high socks and cleats, but no helmets, no padding. Average height of these guys? Maybe 5'11". Average speed, let's just say, really fast. Now here are some rugby basics. There are two forms, rugby union, a 15-player game, and this one, rugby sevens, which is seven players to a side. They play 2 7-minute halves. The rectangular pitch, as it's called, has 2 end zones. The goal is to touch the oval-shaped ball to the ground in the end zone. The ball has to be passed backwards, and players try to tackle the guy who has it. Pretty much everything from the shoulders down is fair game. Still, England's team captain, Simon Amor, says it's not all about full-on contact.
No, obviously tackling is really important, but certainly from the attacking or the offensive side, as you guys like to call it, trying to manipulate space and trying, as Vince Lombardi said, run to the daylight is kind of what we're looking to do.
Amor and his team demonstrated just that in the very first match of the tournament against Kenya. They outran and outscored Kenya 26-14. But 500 screaming, flag-waving Kenyans would, by game two, be celebrating themselves. Thomas Mashigi from Boston was among those cheering his team to victory over Australia.
This is a place to be at this time of year. It kind of reminds you of home. It kind of reminds you of being back in Kenya. So that's why we're all here.
Now, there was another chant I was hoping to hear, the haka, a Maori war chant the New Zealand team performs to celebrate victory.
I don't think I'm the right person to demonstrate it to you. I think you got to watch the team do it.
You got to watch New Zealand win and then you'll understand the haka.
It took some persuading, but eventually I got Miles Sutherland and Hamish Allison to enlist their Maori friends to lead them in a chant. Lest I leave you thinking there were no American fans at this event, rest assured there were plenty. In fact, the Americans walked away with the Shield, the prize for the best of the 4 worst-placed teams. Meanwhile, the top prize, the Cup, came down to a battle between 2 South Pacific nations, Samoa, and its neighbor to the southwest, Fiji. In the end, Fiji came through victorious, 38-24. A result that would surely thrill all 900,000 people back home. Andrea Hsu, NPR News, San Diego.